evening, folks. This is Roy Abel-Rousen, Rich Bergeron.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Renee the Tony Pennekill. I'm live in my gym with my trainee, Potato Head.
And Psychic Tom. Psychic Tom Sackett. Ready to go.
Who I'm never speaking to again as long as I live.
I'm listening.
That goddamn Magic Johnson offered Oscar De La Hoya Dodger Stadium for September 16th.
Yeah.
Happens to be in Los Angeles.
Really? Is that on? Has it been signed?
No, but De La Hoya is the front runner right now. So the four places that are being considered, he's waiting on his offers from Jerry Jones. So the four places, Dodger Stadium is the front runner. He obviously got the T-Mobile Stadium in Las Vegas. I'm still crossing my fingers. And then you got the Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Irving, Texas. And then very, very much an outside chance of Madison Square Garden.
Well, remember what Rich suggested. Las Vegas is not that bad of a drive to L.A.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to go that way.
Well, how much more would it cost to fly to L.A.?
I haven't even looked at that. I think if it's in L.A., I'll be watching it on pay-per-view.
Why don't you just pull a Forrest Gump and just start running? You'll be there by then.
Yeah.
I was running. Anyway, we had a lot to talk about from last week. A lot to talk about for fights coming up. The big event from last week, of course, was the UFC contest, UFC 211. And Tom asked me to look into my crystal ball, and what did I say? First round knockout by Stipe.
You know, just as an aside, you gotta wonder how Stipe. I mean, he's always had a big punch, but right now his punching power is on another level.
Yeah.
Now the question is that a result of maybe Junior being a tad bit shop-worn, or Stipe evolving, or a combination of both?
Well, I mean, if you noticed, he actually took a lot of kicks to the leg, and was sort of limping on one of his feet. So, I think this was a case of, you know, not only evolving but also knowing when you need that power, and obviously it was kind of more instinct, I think, to know that he had to end this fight quickly, or else he was going to have a tough time in the second round. But it's just the pinpoint power. I mean, it's just the accuracy, too, of throwing straight shots. I mean, you watch a lot of the boxers from Europe, and they have that basic 1-2 punch style, you know, hands-up defense. And the basics work in a lot of cases, especially when you transition to mixed martial arts, where a lot of these guys aren't that great on their feet. And I just think Stipe just has that Rocky Marciano element to his right hand. I mean, he can probably nickname it just like Rocky did. But
your point's well taken. And bear with me, I picked up a summer cold here, so that's why I sound a little funny. But the thing is, knowing you need to end it quick is one thing. I've been in that situation, okay, but doing it. You see what I mean? I mean, this is so unusual for first-round knockouts against dangerous killers.
Yes.
Four. I mean, it just, I don't know. See, his boxing coach wasn't there when I was training there. So I don't know what he's showing him. But whatever it is, everything has come together, and I'm kind of a results-oriented person. And, my God, I mean, that's just off the charts. We'll see who's next.
Well, if I was still in Vegas, I should have bet on that one. That's all I can say. Because if you listened to our show last week, you can go to the 57-minute mark to the 1 minute and something mark, and we're talking all about this fight, and we both talk about how Stipe is on a different level now. And you mentioned he had four wins in a row and a lot of first-round knockouts. And he pulled it off. And it's just, I didn't think he was that heavy, actually. I thought he was a lot lighter. You know, I mentioned Rocky Marciano because he boxed at 185 pounds to 189 pounds most of his career as a heavyweight. But Stipe actually come in at 245 for this one. So he's only 15 pounds off the max. But he doesn't look...
Yeah, he's very deceptive. You know, when you meet him, he just doesn't... I mean, you know, he's big, but not gigantic in the Brock Lesnar style.
Right, and, yeah, you consider his freaking ankle is just about toast, and he's able to put those punches together and get Dos Santos out of there. But Dos Santos was just winging punches. I mean, really, for a guy like that, known for his hands, to be getting the best results out of his leg kicks, it's just weird. But, you know, that's what goes to show you about, you know, picking your punches and picking your spots and finding your range and all that. And Dos Santos, like I said, is probably the discipline that would be named after him would be zombie fighting, because he just kind of goes out there and throws and is brainless when he does it sometimes, it looks like. And like I said, Stipe's got to get him so that he doesn't get a chance to do the drunk fighting, drunken master stuff. And he did. Took him just about a round, but took him out, and that was that. But it was a great card all around that. The co-main event was very entertaining, I thought. Just a lot of heart by Jessica Andrade, and it almost took out Joanna in the first round, gave her a nice little memento to take home on her forehead. A little egg from the eyebrow up there. She had a nice skull bump. But Joanna just made the right adjustments, and movement was key for her. Movement, angles, and reach. And just perfect kickboxing.
I tried to figure it out after the first round. It's going to go the distance, that's for sure. So it looks like she's going to have that title for as long as she wants it.
And they're actually calling her Joanna Champion now. I don't know if that was a new thing or if they had started that a while ago, but I think she actually has asked to be called that. And she basically flat out said, "Nobody's taking this away from me. Nobody. My belt. Mine." Damian Maia also got a split decision win over Jorge Masvidal. Jorge was actually better at dealing with the jiu-jitsu than most people that Maya's faced in recent years, but still could not get out of some spots where control, octagon control, was the difference in the decision. So Maia didn't really, you know, have a dominant win, but it's kind of tough to argue that he lost that as well, because there was just a couple exchanges on the feet where Masvidal was able to own the action for a minute here or a minute there, but just not consistently. Because he kept getting taken down, he got body locked and half choked, and just basically was trying to survive at a couple points, but Maia couldn't take him out, so it was a split decision. And then we had a disaster fight. Frankie Edgar, people were saying Yair Rodriguez never should have been in the same cage with him. Doctor stoppage after the second round there. Rodriguez was given the old puffy eye pretty early in the fight, and the Enswell couldn't get his sight back, so the doctor called it off.
Talk about imposing your style.
Yeah.
Edgar could not have fought a smarter fight. And what is that division stacked or what? Wow.
Yes, sir. And we also had David Branch get a split decision over Christoph Jutko. But probably one of the more entertaining fights was actually called a no contest. Dustin Poirier versus Eddie Alvarez. These two were going at it. Cut each other both up and just was just going at it nuts, bell to bell. And then in the second round, 4 minutes and 12 seconds in, there was an accidental knee to the head of a grounded fighter. Dustin Poirier was that grounded fighter. Herb Dean's taking a lot of flack, but I mean, I don't see what else he could have done. You can't really say it was intentional.
What you agree is every state has a different set of rules.
Yeah, you can't have that. It's bad.
No, that's nuts. That's just nuts. That's
got to
change.
And Eddie, you can't really say it was intentional. Eddie did, you know, in the heat of the moment hit him, but it wasn't like he was waiting for that moment for him to be grounded to throw a knee. And Dustin might have been able to fight on, but, you know, he did the smart thing by saying, no, I'm too messed up by that. Because he did get cut again by that, I believe, by that knee. And he said something about not being able to feel his eye or something. So they called it a no contest. And the only thing that sucks about that is if Eddie had been disqualified for that, Dustin would have still gotten a win bonus. You know, but they might have given both of them a locker room bonus after the fact just because they can. But I don't know. We'll see. Find out later, I guess. Jason Knight versus Chaz Skelly was another crazy back and forth battle until Jason Knight came away with the victory by TKO in the third round, 39 seconds into that one. And he was getting his butt kicked before that, but came right back, and definitely a good back and forth battle. My favorite fight of the night was the earlier heavyweight bout, Chase Sherman versus Rashad Coulter. And you talk about rock'em sock'em robots. These guys were just killing each other. No hands up defense. And Rashad just basically gassed out. And then he couldn't take this, you know, accumulation of punches. But Sherman, I mean, he wasn't really throwing bombs. He was actually so tired he could barely throw the punches that ended up winning the fight. It was actually an elbow more than anything. But
yeah, that's always bad when you look at the clock. But I think if Sherman's going to keep going, I don't know where he's training, but he needs a good boxing coach.
Yeah.
I mean, just basic.
He was taking a lot of needless jabs to the face because he just couldn't keep his hands up. And, you know, that was before he got tired, too, so. That's definitely something that he needs to work on. But he does have good one-twos. I mean, his hands were just a little bit quicker and a little bit stronger against Coulter. And Coulter took this fight on like a few days' notice or a week's notice or something. So you can't really bust his balls too much. Also, James Vick got a victory over Marco Polo Reyes by TKO in the first round. 2 minutes and 39 seconds into that one. And Vic, I think he's got 7 wins in a row now, and he's calling for a little bit better promotion by the UFC. He was kind of one of the only ones to really criticize the organization, even though it really wasn't kind of more like, you know, help me out here than criticism. But he says, you know, I don't know why the UFC won't promote me. They need to start promoting me.
Maybe something to do with his coach. Because it looks like he's still with Lloyd Irwin. And you know that story.
Yeah. Also, Courtney Casey got a unanimous decision win over Jessica Aguilar. Enrique Barzola beat Gabriel Benitez by unanimous decision. And Gadzimorad Antigulov beat Joaquin Christensen by rear naked choke. 2:21 into the first round there. That's it for that card last week. We didn't have a heck of a lot of big names boxing this week, but we do have a lot more going on this week. But we got 2 Bellator events, back-to-back nights here. One from Wembley Arena over there in London, that's tomorrow night. And, of course, the big headliner there is Paul Daly versus Rory McDonald. 2 former UFC guys here. Paul leaving for different reasons, but I think he was thrown out. He's coming in at 39-14-2. Rory left of his own free will and free agency. He comes in at 18-4, and this should be a real big test for him to see if he can survive in Bellator better than he survived in the UFC. He always went to war in the UFC, but just came up a lot of times just a bit short, so had a real tough time there and had a lot of difficult fights in the UFC, so we'll definitely be interested in seeing how it goes in Paul Daly's backyard here, too, for a different organization. And the co-main event there is Liam McGeary versus Linton Vassell. McGeary coming in at 12-1, Vassell 17-5. We also got Czech Congo on this card, 26-10-2, fighting Augusto Sakai, who is undefeated, 9-0-1. We got Dan Edwards, 14-14, fighting Alex Lahore, who is 11-1. That's kind of a mismatch on paper, anyway. And then probably the biggest name on the undercard is Kevin Ferguson Jr., Baby Slice, coming in at 0-1 versus Darrell Griffin, who has got no record.
Now, I understand Michael Page is off the card.
I guess so. I don't see him here.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Another interesting fight, we got Neil Grove, 12-8-1, versus Lucas Parobiak, who is 12-6. Way down on the card. And that's pretty much it for that one, for the big stuff. And the Bellator MMA Monster Energy All-Star Race. So this must be the one at the NASCAR event. This is the first of a few of these mini cards. And we got the main event there, Alan Crowder versus Robert Neal. Alan is 5-2, Neal is 4-2. Co-main event, Jeremy Holloway and Jacob McClintock. And this one's easy because both of them have an 8-2 record. And Mike Stevens versus LaShawn Alcox. Stevens 6-3, Alcox is 5-8. Two guys making their pro debut, Alan Bosch, B-O-S-E, and Chris Crawford. And this is going to be at Charlotte Motor Speedway in Concord, North Carolina. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. NASCAR fans and fight fans mesh. We'll find out. But plenty of boxing to talk about. Boxing going on tonight, actually, on ESPN. Speaking of De La Hoya, which Tony mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, little Diego is in action tonight.
Diego De La Hoya.
17-0 at Super Bantamweight, fighting Eric Ruiz. Eric with a K. Ruiz is 16-6-1. And also another undefeated fighter in the co-main event, super middleweight Demetrius Ballard. He is 16-0, fighting Adrian Luna Flores, who's got 20 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw.
I've seen him before. That's not a bad prospect there.
Yeah. And another fight is pretty interesting. Robert Manzanares. He's got 34 wins, just 1 loss. And he is fighting another Eric with a K, but it's a CK. Eric Daniel Martinez, who is 13-6-1. Then we go from Tucson, Arizona there, ESPN, to New York, New York, Brooklyn. Heather Hardy fighting Adina Kiss. Heather Hardy, former guest of ours, she's 19-0. Adina is 14-3. This is for the WBC International Female Featherweight title. Some interesting fights for some titles all the way down the line here. Light heavyweights, main event, Igor Mikhalkin, 19-1, fighting Thomas Ustuzian, who is 27-0-2. That's for the IBO World Light Heavyweight title. And great name for a heavyweight, Christian Hammer, 21-4, fighting Zayn Eddin Ben Makhlouf, who is 22-5-1. Hammer is 21-4. And we got cruiserweights, big boys on this card. 12-0, Mario Dazer, versus Ola Afolabi, who is 22-5-4. Right. And the IBO International Cruiserweight title's on the line in that one, plus the vacant WBO European Cruiserweight title. And we got the vacant WBO European Super Lightweight title between Faith Kellis, 8-0, and Rafiq Harutjunen, who's 10-1. And if that isn't enough titles, we got one more. Sebastian Formella, 14-0 at Super Welterweight, fighting Dennis Krieger, who's 13-4-2, for the vacant IBO Continental Super Welterweight title. No, we got a big Saturday for boxing matches. Not huge, huge names, but big enough. So we get to it. Oops. Gotta go to page 2 on BoxRec. We got some fights in Philly, too. The 2300 Arena. I know I posted something about this on our website, but we've got Carlos Rosario, 7-1 at lightweight, fighting Joshua Davis, who's 10-1. That's on Friday night. Also got Amir Shabazz at light heavyweight, 4-0, fighting Antoine Akins, who is 10-3-1. And lightweight Tyrone Crawley, who's 6-0, fighting Juan Rodriguez, who's 7-6-1.
Father was a good fighter. Father, Tom?
Sorry?
You remember his father, Tyrone Crawley?
Yes.
We used to fight a lot of those fights on the 80s.
Yeah. Very irritating.
Alright. Let's see what we have for Saturday. Oh, here's our mismatch of the week. Oh, maybe not. This is a weird one. We got a guy that's 1-1. At Cruiserweight in Bosnia and Herzegovina here Saturday. 1-1. Fighting for a title. The vacant Global Boxing Union World Cruiserweight title. World title! He's 1-1. He's fighting Misa Nikolic, who is got 20 wins to 45 losses and 2 draws.
Oh my god. Oh, that's a great title fight there. I'm betting on the guy 1-1.
That's ridiculous. And then there's it's kind of a whole mismatch card because we've got another guy who's got a record of 17-6 at cruiserweight, Zoran Sekularik, and his opponent is Armand. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name. There's some X's and H's. It's his debut, Armand, fighting a 17-6 guy. Then the next one's a heavyweight fight. Ilhan Dzevic, who is 11-2, fighting Igor Kantar, who is 0-1. That's great. Great matchmaking. Nuts. And then we got Medellin, Colombia. Main event there. Welterweight Samuel Vargas, 26-3-1, fighting Marco Antonio Avendano, who is 30-10 with 1 draw. And you guys ever heard of Billy Briscoe?
Who the heck is Billy Briscoe?
Billy Briscoe Jr. is on this card in Medellin, and he's fighting TBA in his pro debut. Billy Briscoe Jr., super featherweight.
Yeah, Billy Briscoe is the trainer. He's reunited. He's training Gabe Rosado again.
to the boxing ring, man, to straighten that one out. Tokyo.
That's why you pay
up
the big bucks.
Yeah. Out in Tokyo, Japan, we got some stuff going on Saturday for once instead of Sunday. We got a bunch of titles on the line. WBC World Flyweight title in the main event. Juan Hernandez Navarrete, who is 34-2, fighting Daigo Higa, who is undefeated at 12-0. And we got light flyweights, the world light flyweight title for the WBC. Gannigan Lopez, 28-6, fighting Ken Shiro, who is 9-0. And then we got Hassan Ndam Jakam, middleweight, 35-2, fighting Ryoto Imurata, who is 12-0. That one's for the vacant WBA world middleweight title. And that's about it for good stuff on that card. Got some other stuff. Wow. Pretty decent card over in Poland. No titles on the line, but a couple big names on the card. Noel Gavor at cruiserweight, 22-0, fighting Krzysztof Wlodarczyk, who is 52-3-1, still fighting. Patrick Szymanski, also super welterweight on the card. He's 17-0, fighting Rafał Jakowicz. Also, a guy's been around. Jakowicz comes in at 48-16-2. So that's a pretty good Polish card there. Another one in Poland, also on Saturday. It's a smaller card, but main event's pretty interesting. Marcin Marzak, he's 10-0, fighting Siarhe Huliakowicz, who is 43-7. A lot of fights. 50 fights there. And a big one from the UK this week, super featherweight for the IBF World Super Featherweight title. Liam Walsh coming in undefeated at 21-0 against Gervonta Davis, coming in undefeated at 17-0. Co-main event. The IBF World Super Featherweight title on the line.
And Davis ain't a bad fighter, man.
So I believe this one's showtime. I don't know what the timing is going to be to do it with it being in the UK, but it's on showtime. Co-main event there, Ryan Walsh at featherweight, 21-2-1, fighting Marco McCullough, who is 17-3. That's for a British featherweight title. And we got a couple 12-0 guys. Joe Pigford, 12-0, and Aaron Morgan, 12-0 at super welterweight. Light heavyweights, Chris Hobbs, 6-1-1, and Anthony Yard, who is 10-0. That's for a British title, too. And then we got one in Maryland, also on Showtime on Saturday. A bunch of big fights here. German Mraz, actually, on the card at bantamweight. 55-43-1 is his record. Fighting Alexandru Marin, who is 12-0. But the main event there is Gary Russell Jr. and Oscar Eskandon for the WBC World Featherweight title. Gary comes in at 27-1. Eskandon at 25-2. And then we got... Durrell, former guest of ours, I believe, years ago. He is 25-2, fighting Jose Uzcategui, who is 26-1. And a guy I saw fight live out in Vegas, Rances Barthelemy, 25-0, fighting Kirill Relic, who is 21-1. Looking forward to that one. And, of course, we got to have HBO's competition to Showtime for the weekend. And that's Bob Arum's show from Madison Square Garden, New York, New York. And Terrence Crawford versus Felix Diaz in the main event there, super lightweights. Of course, Crawford comes in at 30-0 undefeated. WBC World Super Lightweight title and WBO World Super Lightweight title on the line. Felix has one loss to 19 wins. co-main event is equally good, but three titles on the line in the co-main event. Raimundo Beltran, 32-7-1, fighting Jonathan Macello, who is 25-2. Vacant WBA International Lightweight title, NABF Lightweight title, and WBO NABO Lightweight title on the line on that one. And
Vegas a few years ago on the Pacquiao Bradley undercard, and that was who my one buddy wanted to see. You know, just all he kept talking about was Raimundo Beltran. That's all he wanted to see. And Beltran won the decision, beat the guy up pretty good. But then he went on there and he against Terrence Crawford, and you know that was way too much to chew off. And I think Crawford handily beat him every round. But Beltran's one of those good fighters to watch because he's not flashy, but he's tough and he's in your face. You can tell he's got skills, but he's also like, you know, one of those hard-nosed fighters. That's somebody, you know, like, you can appreciate because you know you're going to get, you know, a maximum effort. It's just when he went against Crawford, it was like, up against a fighter with a skill level in another stratosphere.
So on that card, we got no title on the line here, but great fight. Konstantin Ponomarev, who is 31-0, fighting Ed Paredes, who is 38-6-1, welterweight. And we got a Fox Sports 1 card, a rare event on a Saturday. Also going on this week, David Benavidez in that main event. He is 17-0, fighting Rogelio Medina, who is 37-7, only one of those seven losses coming in his last six fights. We also have Jorge Lara, 28-0-2, fighting Mario Briones, who is 28-5-2. Yeah, that's a pretty decent card there. Page 4, and we're still on Saturday. Memorial Hall in Melrose, Massachusetts. Got some fights on Saturday, too. Nothing set in stone. Everybody's fighting TBA, though. They're going to see who shows up at the venue and then make the fights. And a couple on Sunday in Japan still. Light flyweights Akira Yagashi, who is 25-5, fighting Milan Melindo, 35-2. That's for the IBF World Light Flyweight title. And we got Naoya Inoue, 12-0, fighting Ricardo Rodriguez, who's 16-3 for the WBO World Super Flyweight title. And a super featherweight fight between Satoshi Hosono, 32-3, with one draw, fighting Masashi Noguchi, 12-6-1. And Sunday, nothing else really big. Until next week. So that does it for the big boxing schedule. No, I got some other stuff to talk about in my notes. Here's a funny story. So Kelvin Gastelum, what did he just get busted for in Brazil, Tom?
Was it a PED or marijuana?
Marijuana. Another name for it is weed, though. So it's kind of weird that they matched Kelvin up now after his 90-day suspension. Who else gets that? 90-day suspension. Guess who they's going to set him up with? Kelvin Gastelum versus Chris Weedman. Is that ironic or
you
what?
You got away with words, buddy. You really got away with words.
Well, I got to credit the guy in this forum that they've got the story up on the forum. The little bubble quote says, Kevin signed the contract because he thought it was pronounced weed, man. Well, they rewarded him, I think, a little too early by giving him this opportunity. But this is it's going to be on UFC on Fox 25. Main event, too. So, yeah. No contest.
Right. You know, that is an interesting fight, because if Weidman loses three in a row.
Right.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting. Okay, so. The other big story going around is George St. Pierre and Michael Bisping might not be canceled after all. This is in response to Luke Rockhold's tirade we talked about last week. Bisping has come out and said, "It's a blessing in disguise because I can't fight anytime soon. I can't exercise. I can't train. My knee is giving me many, many problems. It was doing it in Thailand. It's still getting no better. So long story short, what I'm getting at is I'm not going to be ready to fight anytime soon. So again, that's another reason why this plays into the perfect scenario for me." It says Luke Rockhold has no grounds to talk. Some people have to be honest. Yoel's been there for a bit now. I understand that. Robert Whittaker is there. Guard as well, but I've got a fight booked, and until I hear anything differently from an official source, I'm expecting to fight GSP. There you go. Now, we had Mother's Day last weekend, and I got a funny story that you'll like, Tony. My buddy up there, Bronson, in Maine, took him out for a little hike in the woods. And Bronson, the golden retriever, decides to chase a turkey right out of the woods.
Okay.
So I see the turkey jump off the hill, and then the dog behind it. And I had actually joked to my girlfriend earlier that day, you know, maybe the dog will get us a turkey for dinner. So he almost did. Maybe he heard me. So anyway, the turkey's gone, and then I see the dog go back up to where he saw it in the first place, and he comes back with a fucking egg. Drops the egg right down the ground, then snarfs it right back up again and eats it, shell and all. So I go back up to the hill, and there's 9 other ones there. So Bronson ruined someone's Mother's Day, but she's still got 9 other kids. But I mentioned Mother's Day because the Fertittas gave their mother an incredible present. I just got this in my email today. They gave her a $120 million check for Mother's Day. Imagine that. Makes whatever we give to our mothers pretty much a drop in the bucket, right? But it's all tracing to their trust controlled by Victoria Fertitta, Lorenzo and Frank III's mother. And it's basically was a check to acquire the land underneath 2 Red Rock Casino properties in Las Vegas. I don't know how that works. Land underneath. I mean, does that mean it's in the basement level of the properties or what? But anyway, it's 75 acres underneath Boulder Station and Texas Station casinos. And Red Rock Resorts, Station Casinos, same deal. They've been paying rent on this land, and it should save the company $7 million a year making this one-time payment. And so the price is actually more than twice what Boyd Gaming paid for 77 acres of dirt under their New Orleans casino earlier this year. So I guess they gave their mother the benefit of the doubt there. There's also news there. I don't know if I talked about this last week. They're starting a capital company, Capital Investments, and still not any big buzz about them getting an NFL team, but the Raiders are coming to Vegas, so you never know if they're going to be part of that ownership group or how that's going to work. Now, here's an interesting one. You know what the first rule of Fight Club is, right? Talk about Fight Club. But here is an international cartel accused of exploiting boxers and forcing fights all across Europe. Police have broken up an international cartel that forced people to fight against their will in competitions all across Europe. 3-month investigation resulted in the arrest of 7 Spanish nationals suspected of belonging to this ring, and they're being held accused of fraud, forgery, making threats, and causing bodily harm. 19 victims were supposedly made to undergo medical, without undergoing medical controls, and with false permits and licenses, forced to fight all over the place. Now, this is the best part of this one. The group, based in the industrial town of Terrassa, north of Barcelona, allegedly used a former Nicaraguan boxer dubbed El Terrible to make contact with and recruit the victims. So these people that were forced to fight against their will were actually recruited by a boxer. Former boxer. Nicknamed El Terrible. So, I guess he's a terrible guy. But they basically, if they did not obey orders, members of the group would hit them and threaten to hurt their family members back in Nicaragua. And all the money earned from their fights went directly to the cartel. So, that's enough for UFC news this week. No, just kidding. The UFC guys are starting to talk so much like crap about the bosses. We already talked about Magic Johnson, Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Damn it.
Tony don't like it. He don't want to talk about it anymore. Anthony Johnson, we talked about Weed Man. Well, he's getting into Weed Man, according to this article. He said that he is leaving MMA for another industry, but he wouldn't say what industry. And this last weekend, he hinted that it's the marijuana business that he's joining. He says, "We are opening up a facility, if you know what I mean. It's for medical uses. We got some good things going on. It's already big. We're just waiting for that law to pass, and whenever it passes, we're golden. We're playing our cards right, and we're playing by the books, so that way there's no issue." So, interesting stuff. We'll just see how that works out. He also said that he was never a fighter. He was just a great athlete who took to MMA natural. He feels like he was meant to do something else, something greater in life. Well, we know he was a real good fighter, whether he thinks he was or not. As to ever coming back, he says if those guys want to go in there and do that to themselves, go ahead, that's your life, that's your body, that's your future. But for me, I'm destined to do something greater. I just couldn't do it anymore. You got to go in there and do your thing. You've got to make your money and get out. That's why Conor McGregor is killing it. He's straight killing it. Now, he says, I left on my own terms, I left on good terms, and I left as one of the best fighters ever in the weight class. I did my job. That's not...
You know, I bet there's a lot of light heavyweights that are very happy about that. Well, you talk about a gatekeeper.
Right.
Wow. Think about that. The only thing I regret is we'll never see him against John Jones.
And here's another boxing one. Mexican legends are fuming about Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And they are not mincing their words, let's say that. Of course, the contest was completely one-sided. Fans were upset, but one of the most critical former fighters, Mexican legend, they're calling him, Jose Guadalupe Pintor, said it was the biggest fraud he had ever seen in boxing. He says, he is a young man who has nothing to do here in boxing and hangs on the father's name. You cannot talk about Julio's resume of his career because he doesn't have one. What career does that young man have? In my life, I had seen him fight. It's a shame for Mexican boxing. Unfortunately, the business side of things makes this happen. It should give him pain to disrespect the name of his father.
Strong words.
Another former world champion, Marcos Villasana, said, for me, this was not a fight. If I was his father, I would have told him to retire. Julio Cesar, the father, was a fighter who always demanded respect, but the son, what a shame for the Chavez family. He is an irresponsible fighter that damages boxing, which is a serious sport. He does not have any responsibility and should retire. Whoa. Carlos Zarate, Humberto Gonzalez, and Rafael Herrera also had some critical remarks. Zarate said, "We were expecting a great fight. It was not like that. I was disappointed, but I saw it logically. I know what it costs to lose weight and the time it takes. 3 months was too little to get down. He came down in weight too fast. He is young. If he is dedicated, then he still has a chance. But if he doesn't pay attention, then he must retire." This. See what else we got here. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor. Looks like it's gonna be on. As much as you guys.
Somebody posted something.
Conor has agreed to his portion. Now it's all about Floyd's portion of the contract that they've got to work out. But Conor has apparently signed and agreed, just waiting on a license. And that, I believe, is all I have for this week. So not only did we start early, we're going to end early, I guess.
I started my profile on the Sports Rant site, and I was trying to upload an article. I was just going to use some of my older articles, some of my Frazier versus Tyson and stuff like that, but I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I did something wrong.
I think it's a WordPress site, so I'll have to take a look at it. If you can send me, like...
We'll do.
Your login information or something like that, so I can see if it...
Okay.
Is it saved in there in a draft format or something?
No, I didn't do anything, because I wasn't sure what the hell I was doing. Tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait for another week, obviously, to get on that platform, but I'm going to communicate with that guy. I'm going to try to get us down to 2 articles a month rather than 1 a week, because it's kind of crazy.
Okay. Did you guys see the write-up I did on myself?
I did. That was good stuff.
That's just me.
You basically just made it official that you have the record. I like that. I'm sure there's not records of anybody else who could have come close to that, but just in case, you know.
Hey, you're putting it out there. Nobody's ever even attempted it, and I take Coop at his word.
Well, I do too. All right, so until next week, guys. It's all smoke.
All right, fight this weekend. Yeah, some good ones. I'm looking forward to seeing Terrence Crawford. I always am.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.